opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and you are tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We are going to talk about a very interesting subject, and all of you have heard this word before, and you know what I'm saying. When I say the word, you know what that word probably means. But we're going to go really in depth and talk about the power of this word and the power of what's behind it. We're going to talk about the power of believing. So I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to think about all the times you see those cute little signs that say believe, or you see something that says believe in, and it'll put somebody's belief system of some sort out there. But what does that mean to you? When you see that sign that says believe, what do you think it's referring to? What's interesting is I think that sign began around Christmas time, where people were saying believe. And what were they saying? Believe in Christ's birthday, believe in Santa Claus, believe in family, in the fun, in the magic of Christmas. And, you know, we look at different Christmas movies that all talk about the power of belief. So that's where the signs kind of started, saying believe. But let's go deeper than that. What do you believe in? And some of you might immediately have an answer to that. What are the things that you want to believe in? Or what are the things that you sort of believe in on the surface, but you don't really believe underneath? And that's what we're going to talk about today. The power of believing is more profound than you can even say out loud. Because what we truly believe in, and that's what we believe in at our core, not what we say we believe in, not where we show up, like we show up at church or we show up to some kind of fundraiser, or we say we believe in this or we don't believe in that. I'm talking about what do you believe in at your core of who you are and how you run your life and how you run your thought processes are a reflection of what you truly believe inside of you. So today's show, we're going to break that down a little bit so you can take a hard look at what you believe and how that is helping you or hurting you. And then by the end of the show, I'd like to give you some ways that you can change that for the better, that you can begin to challenge yourself and your belief systems for the ones that are harming you or holding you back, or creating your reality in a way that is not really what you want. So let's look at the idea that if what you want to believe in is a lie. Now, who decides what's a lie and what's not? We're talking about what you believe in or what you don't believe in. So what if what you want to believe in, you fear, is a lie? Think about that. What is it we want to believe in? Let's just throw out some things. People will want to believe in their religion. They want to believe in God, or they want to believe in what their religion says is what they're supposed to believe. They want to believe in success, that they are meaning something in this world, that they're productive, that they're making a contribution to the world. They want to believe in financial success. They want to believe in good dads. They want to believe that there are good dads out there, either because they've had one and they think there's good dads out there, or because they didn't have one and they want to believe that there's good dads out there. They want to believe in healthy mothers for the same reason. But let's go to a real big one. People want to believe in love. I'm being quiet there for a minute because I know you're going, Some people will immediately say, of course, I believe in love. Some people have a very firm foundation in love. They believe that they love, that others love them. They have beliefs that love makes the world go round. And they feel strong and stable in that belief. But as a psychologist in private practice, what I see a lot is that what people don't believe in is love. They're there because they have trauma. They've been betrayed or harmed, and that does not feel like love to people. They're in therapy often because of childhood issues. They did not feel loved or accepted, or they were abandoned or harmed in their families of origin. That doesn't feel like love to them. And they often are in therapy because of a failed relationship or many failed relationships. So they're talking about their traumas, and they're talking about their harm and their hurt and their pain. But often what they're talking about is, I just don't believe anymore. Maybe I used to believe, maybe I've never believed, but I'm broken and I don't believe anymore, is often what the therapeutic process is about. So when we can break that down and say, what is it you used to believe in? What do you wish you believed in? And what has actually happened in your life and in your world that has made your truth be what you believe? It's interesting, isn't it, when you stop to think about it? Because we want to throw that out. I believe in love. I believe in relationships. I believe in marriage. I believe in God. I believe in hard work. Think of the things that you throw that out with. I believe in. Fill in that blank. Not everybody believes in that thing that you just said. So we're going to look at what happens when you don't believe. I want to tell you a story. This is a story that I've seen countless number of times in my private practice. So this is a compilation of a lot of people. You can't really identify any one person, but I'm going to tell it like a story so you can kind of get the hang of it. Let's say that this person is named Jacob. Jacob is a mid-30s, about 35, roughly 36, 37, and he's got a good job. He's financially stable. He really wants to settle down. He wants to find a good woman, get married, have kids. He's got a house. He purposely bought a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house because he pictured someday he'd have a family in there. And his whole life has been kind of excited about that. He comes from an intact family of decent parents, had a good childhood, had some limited traumas growing up, nothing huge and horrendous. But he has wanted to believe in pairing up with somebody and getting married and forming a family. But what's happened in his life is that he's had several relationships, a couple short ones and a couple of longer term ones that fell apart and that didn't work. And so he's wanted to believe in love, but he's starting to feel like love doesn't exist for him. So he came into therapy saying, a phrase I hear often, my picker is broken. I don't know how to pick a good relationship. And I don't know what to do to find someone who's like-minded with me, who wants what I want. And when he broke it down, he didn't believe that people today really want to find long-term love, committed love in a relationship that lasts a lifetime. He said he used to believe that, but he doesn't believe it anymore. And when we broke down why he didn't believe it, it was because he said, I can't seem to find a partner who wants to love as much as I do, who wants to form a commitment, you know, for better or worse, we're going to work this out, we're going to stay together, we're going to form a family. It's our deep devotion that we're going to live together for a lifetime, raise our kids. He said, I just don't hear that much anymore. And I don't believe it exists like it used to in my parents' day. So we had to explore this belief system of his that it didn't really exist. And when we got down to it, what Jacob was saying is, I don't believe love exists for me. He felt he was broken, that somehow he wasn't worthy, that he didn't know how to pick people, and he tended to pick people who were not very healthy. And so his belief system began to be skewed that women were unhealthy, they were kind of crazy, they didn't really want a commitment, that he was boring and somehow not good enough for a long-term commitment. he wasn't really a catch. And he said something like, when you look at who I am on paper, I am a catch. People say I'm a catch. And when I'm actually with somebody, they don't treat me like that. They don't act like I'm something special. I get treated like I'm a second thought. So his belief in himself was that he was second rate. His belief in love was that it didn't really exist. His belief in long-term relationships was really shattered, and he didn't know where to go from there. So we're going to go to break, and we come back. We're going to talk more in depth about, do you believe in love? We'll be right back.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You're listening to the beautiful Native American music of Randy McGinnis. This is the song Believe. Cool name, huh? This is the song Believe from Randy McGinnis's sixth CD called Freedom's Hope. You can listen to Randy's music on his website, randymcginnis.com, or you can go to Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, iTunes, anywhere they sell music. CD Baby. It's cool. His music is absolutely stunningly beautiful, and we appreciate his willingness to let us use his music on this show. Okay, we're talking about the power of believing. And right now we're talking about believing in love. So we're talking about how many people don't believe in love anymore. They've had failed relationships, or they've gotten a divorce, or they feel like their picker is broken and they pick crazy people. And they don't feel like they can believe in this commitment sort of love. Can I get into a relationship with a healthy person who's as committed as I am, who wants to spend their life together? And I just don't believe that exists anymore, is what I hear people say. So when I say to them, do you believe in love? It sounds like a trite question, doesn't it? But that's what I'm asking all of you. Do you believe in love? And so let's break that down a little bit. Often when I say to people, do you love your kids? Oh, there's no hesitation. Absolutely. Love my kids. Would you step in front of a train for them? Absolutely. I'd do anything for my kids. That instinctual response of loving your children no matter what, that unconditional love, I would love them if they were in trouble. If you remember the show, a while ago, I did a show interviewing parents of prisoners, people who had committed crimes and were in prison, some of them for the rest of their life. Do you still love your children? Unequivocally, they said, yes, I love my child. So we often believe in the power of love when it comes to our children, and we don't hesitate. But when we talk about, do you love in your relationship? Do you believe you are loved? Do you believe you can be loved? Do you think that love can endure? And many people, the answer to that is no. I don't believe love endures. I believe love is selfish. I believe people leave you. They want what they want. It's all about them. They get bored. They can't handle it anymore. They're sexually unfaithful. Somebody offers sex and they take, and they don't care about the longevity of our relationship. Now, granted, as a psychologist, I probably have a bit of a skewed view hearing that because people come to me when they're in problems with their relationships. But I also have a lot of friends who have very long-term marriages. And when I ask them, how'd you do it? What made you go 30, 40, 50 years? They stuck with it. It doesn't mean it was perfect. Almost all of them have a story about how they could have left, we'll put it that way, but they didn't. They stuck with it, they stayed on, and they worked it through. So part of what they did is they believed in the endurance and the power of loving each other and continuing to love each other no matter what. So do you believe in love? That's what I'm asking you. Because what you believe about love, about relationships, about your chosen partner, whether that's male or female, do you believe certain things about that sex? If you have beliefs that say women are all what? Men are all this way. Marriage is like this. All marriages what? End in divorce. All marriages are hard. What is your belief system? Because you will finish those sentences based on what you truly believe inside of you. And I'm not talking to you about what your pastor tells you to believe or what any religious teaching teaches you or what your parents taught you. I'm talking about you. Deep inside of you, what is your internal core belief about love? It's hard, isn't it? And some of you, if I really get you to stop and think, if you just felt like crying, you are not alone. This is a very difficult subject for people because they want to believe something different. But here's what's really, really important, and one of the reasons I wanted to do this show on the power of believing, is what you truly believe is what is going to color your future. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go through what some of the core reasons are that the power of believing is so important. But right now I want you to see what you believe about relationships is powering you. So if you believe in the sanctity of marriage and that you work it out no matter what and your family is everything and you're going to push and make it happen, you will stay for a very long time. You will work it out. Now, do very long-term marriages end sometimes? Absolutely, because it takes two people to do this. If only one person is going to do the work and the other one is basically not, whatever not means, either they're gone or they're having an affair or they're just not trying or they're staying the same and not growing, whatever not means, okay, it takes two people to make a relationship work. But all you can be responsible for is what do you believe? So when you stop to say, this is what I want in a relationship, this is what I want to believe, and this is what I want to find, you want to find someone else who believes those same things. And if they can't say them out loud, they probably don't believe them. If you're on a date and you're checking somebody out and you listen to what they say, they will slip and tell you what they believe. They'll say, oh, you know, relationships are hard and, you know, it's really hard to make one work and people are selfish and people leave and, you know, just when you think somebody walks out. Those are their core beliefs. So let's go back to Jacob, the person I was talking to you about, mid-30s man, good guy, nice guy, attractive. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't like drop-dead gorgeous, but he's a nice-looking guy. And he couldn't find someone to love who wanted to love with the same passion and commitment level that he had. So as the relationship broke up, and that's what brought him into therapy, he was really struggling with a breakup. And he said, I just don't think I can ever find anybody, because he did believe it was out there. He thought women were all screwed up, they were crazy, they weren't committed, they were just wanted to use him for his financial stability, they didn't really want blah, 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 blah. And so as he was going back out into the world, what he was believing is what he was leading with. So he believed he was somebody that should be left because he wasn't that great. His core belief was, when they really get to know me, they find out I'm not that awesome. So underneath it all, I'm kind of blah. I'm no great catch. And nobody's going to really want me. So one of the reasons he clung to some of these crazy women that he'd been dating is he thought it was all he was going to get. No one was going to like him. It was the best he was going to do. And his really core underlying belief was, I could be alone forever because no one will want me. Now think about that. When this guy and many other people like him go out to find a relationship or enter the dating world, if their core belief is, no one is really going to want me because I'm not that great, and everyone is going to leave me when they find out who I am, what kind of people are you going to go for? What are you going to attract into your life? Desperate people, whether it's a man or a woman, you're going to, desperate people, financially unstable, people with trauma problems that they haven't worked on, very undeveloped people that need to be rescued, and you're going to see a desperate, needy, kind of victim sort of person that you need to take care of and rescue and make sure they're okay and that they will be bonded to you and love you forever because you have been the knight in shining armor that rode in and rescued that person. Whether you're male or female, you'll be the rescuer. So when you believe you're not good enough, you tend to find somebody of that like-mindedness. Now, you may be financially stable, successful, people may think that you've got the world by the tail, but if your core belief is that you're not good enough, that's what you're going to lead with when you're trying to find a relationship. So let's go back to the relationship that you're currently in. Are you good enough? Do you believe that you are worth loving? Do you believe that that is demonstrated in the relationship that you are in? So take that to heart for a moment and think about that. But I also want you to explore your belief system about what does your partner say about you. Some people aren't real attached to that. Some people are very attached to that. Some people need a partner that decorates their arm. They need a really beautiful woman. They need a really great-looking guy. They need somebody else to say, whoa, that person got that person? Wow. There must be something special about him or her that I didn't know about because they got that person. If your belief system is that the person you're with defines who you are, then it's not going to be important to you when you find someone because your belief system is not, I want somebody who's very well developed and who's intelligent and grown and who's growing emotionally. You're more interested in what they look like. So, and then I see that a lot in my practice too. Somebody gets into a relationship based on looks only, looks and lust, and they're not thinking about the core part of that person. So, if you have to have somebody that decorates your arm or that augments your status in some way, then you are saying that you aren't worthy without that person. So what are you going to do when others covet your partner? Do you feel important because they think you have a beautiful woman on your arm or that you're with a great guy, a really successful guy, and they covet your partner? Are you going to feel insecure? Are you going to know that's about your partner and not you? Where does that leave you? What this is all based on, what's really, really important to look at, is how you believe is going to dictate what you find in a relationship It's going to dictate how you proceed in your long-term relationship. And it says a lot about who you are and what you need to do. All right. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to give you some of the elements that are found when you believe. We'll be right back.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort. With
Does it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep, is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about the power of believing. You're listening to Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. Amazing music. Let's talk about, let's break down believing. Because when you break it down, then you can actually look at your own life a little bit. And this is also going to give you some ways to help others learn to believe. Many of us want to teach our children how to believe, and we'll say things like, I believe in you. Well, think about that now that you're we're breaking down believing. How empty is that when you say, I believe in you? What does that mean? I believe you can kick the ball down the field. I believe you can do your homework. I believe that you're worth having a friend. What does it mean? So we're going to break this down. And when you are trying to teach your children about believing, you're going to know what you are trying to teach them. Believing in what? Let's be very specific. Now, I do hear people that are giving their children a religious background, and they are trying to help them believe in the religious components that they adhere to. So they're clear about things like that. I'm talking about how do you get your kids to believe in themselves? And it's no different than how do you get yourself to believe in you? So some of the components in believing are you've got to look around you, how you are living, what you are doing, how you create an environment around you is directly related to what you believe in. Now think about that. If you believe that how wealthy you are and you have to have a big, nice house, okay. Or do you have a big, nice house because you want to be comfortable? Or what? What do you believe in? The safe neighborhood, the big house, the what? And I'm not judging. I mean, we all get to do what we can do, right? But what is it that you find important? Because what you have created in your environment is important to you. And when you look at that, it's going to make a difference on figuring out what you find valuable. Now, let's look at the other thing. Who you associate with, who are your friends, mean a lot about you, too. There's an old saying that the five people that you hang out with are who you're going to end up being. So when we look at our teenagers, why do we get upset when they're hanging around the kids that are smoking pot and not doing their homework and cutting school? Because we instinctively know, oh my heavens, my kid could turn out like those kids. So we want to steer our kids to the good kids, right? But your kids are going to find others to associate more if the environment they come from is a good environment. You can almost guarantee if you have a household where there's a lot of drinking and people are smoking pot and they're in and out and it's not a very accomplished environment and there's no structure or anything like that, your kids are probably going to hang out with the kids that smoke pot and don't do their homework, and they create a lifestyle in their environment at home with their environment, with their friends. So take a look at yourself. Who do you want to hang out with? Who are you most comfortable with? What environment are you trying to create for yourself so that those you associate with are augmenting what you believe and who you are? It's just something to explore. And it's a really important tool because it's what we want to teach our kids, that who you associate with is where you're going to be headed in your life. Okay, now let's look at what is the information that you're taking into your life. Where are you getting your opinions and your facts? And what are you reading? And who are you listening to? You're listening to this podcast. This is very good. That means you're listening to good stuff. I'm teasing. No, I'm not. It's good that you're listening to this podcast. But what you listen to and what information you put into your head is going to play a factor in what you believe. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't listen to opposing things. Let's say you believe in marriage, but you want to explore what do other people say about alternative ways of living, and you want to research it and look at it and read other things so that you can make an informed decision for yourself. Okay, I'm not saying don't ever look at anything that goes against what you think you believe. You're exploring. But I want you to be aware of what is the information you're taking in and where are you getting it. Okay? And then the other thing that really influences how you believe are your experiences. So let's look back at that. Let's look at the people in relationship issues. If your experiences have been that you find crazy people or toxic people, or you keep dating somebody who leaves, or they say they're going to stay but they don't, or they lie. They say, I have a good income and I'm financially stable, and then you find out that they're $60,000 in debt and they just got an eviction notice, but they didn't tell you that. So if your experiences have been those in relationships, then your belief system is probably being formed by those experiences. It's very important that you know what your experiences have been and how they form your belief system. It's also important to understand that the environment you create and live in, the people that you associate with, how you gain the information in your life, and what your experiences have been are not going to be the same as everybody else. So if you make the mistake of thinking everybody does believe as you believe or should believe as you believe, you're going to be sorely disappointed because every person has those four factors in a slightly different way, at least, and sometimes a hugely different way. So when you're dating someone, one of the things you're looking for, or when you're meeting friends, meeting people, you're looking for what do they believe in? What have been their experiences? You don't have to quiz them like a cross-examination. You can say, have you ever been married? What was that like for you? And listen, if it's been a nasty, horrible experience for them, you will hear that. And if people are left to talk without judgment and they're feeling pretty safe, you will hear what their belief system is regarding kids, parents, jobs, the economy, politics, anything. If you listen, you will hear what they believe. Even if they don't hear what they believe, you can hear it. So it's very important that you recognize these things make a big difference in who you are and how you believe. So I want you to also grab the concept that how you believe can change you. And you have to change some core underlying things in order to change how you believe. Let me give you a good example. When 9-1-1 happened and the planes hit the Twin Towers, the country was shocked and awakened. All of a sudden, we believed that we could be vulnerable. Before that morning, on September 11th, 2001, I think most people did not believe we could ever be at risk. Some wise military people probably knew, some government officials maybe knew, but the average bear didn't know that our country could actually be attacked. So September 11th was a huge wake-up call in believing. And because we believed that we could be vulnerable and we could lose lives and we could lose loved ones, and almost everyone you talked to knew someone who was in the Twin Towers or had neighbors or had a cousin who was in there. We didn't have to go very far to find somebody who was deeply affected by September 11th. In those true beliefs of grabbing that and believing that, we were willing to make changes. When TSA was formed at airports, most people willingly went along with it because we believed we needed to keep our country safe. So in that belief system, you found cooperation, you found willingness to be, you know, uncomfortable, and you found people saying, I don't want that to happen again, and I want to do the best I can to keep it from happening again. So that's a really good example of how a core belief was instantly changed when something happened. Now, let's look at the difference of what's happening with coronavirus or COVID. You see people resisting wearing masks, are not really believing it's true, are doubting what doctors say because these five doctors say this and these five doctors say that. I don't know what to believe. I'm confused. This is scary. Nobody's giving me facts that I can hang my hat on. And so the lack of cooperation that you're seeing out of a lot of people is based on the fact that they don't truly believe. So if you ask them, do you believe coronavirus is a virus? They'll say, yeah, it's a virus, like flu or something like that. Do you believe we had bad flus in the past? People go, oh, yeah, and we had killer flus sometimes. H1N1 a couple of years ago was really bad. Everybody in my office got it. It was, you know, you had to be really careful. We told people, don't come to work if you're sick. So they believe that coronavirus or COVID is a virus. They believe that it is serious. But when you find them not cooperating with the stuff that some people want them to cooperate with, it's because they don't believe. So look at the difference between 9-1-1 and COVID. People say, hey, you stand in a TSA line, you can wear a mask. And people don't know how to answer that because, yeah, they stand cooperatively in a TSA line in an airport, but they feel kind of ticked off that they have to wear a mask in an airplane. And some people that are very, you know, on that fanatical side of it say, that's not right. You should be happily wearing a mask. But it's not the same thing because the underlying belief system is challenged. So those are two extreme examples. But I want you to recognize that when you don't believe in something, you will have a hard time putting your time, your energy, your money, teaching your kids, moving that direction. So when you are feeling resistant, the thing to ask yourself is, what do I believe? And sometimes the answer is, I don't know. I need to work on that. I need to explore that. So it's important to break this down. Can you see how just saying, what do you believe? People go, you know, they say some trite thing like, I believe in Santa Claus. I believe in love. I want to go deeper than that because that's what's going to create long-lasting change in you and make your life better. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to sum this up with some stuff that you can actually take away and do something different. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Your friendly oil change, Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay, and we are talking about the power of believing. One of the things I hear most often in my office is, I'm here because I'm struggling, I'm grieving, I'm traumatized, I'm having a problem, and we're working on defining what that is and moving somebody into a different direction. But often when we're trying to create a more evolved reality, a more aware person, somebody who knows who they are, how they feel, what they believe in, then they can begin to really learn to stand in their truth and be who they are without apology, without shame, without aggressive anger. They can just be who they are. But it doesn't work if you don't know what you believe. Okay? So I pause every once in a while because I really want you to soak some of that stuff in and start to think about it. So you're in therapy, you're trying to figure out what's wrong, where you're going, who you are, you're hurt, you've been abandoned or traumatized or harmed in some way by someone or something, and you're trying to put it into a perspective that you can go forward. Think in terms of you are refocusing, reanalyzing, what do you believe in? Like, for example, a person who's been raped. Do they still believe it's safe to be out in public? Do they feel that it's safe to wear a dress? Is it safe to go out with a new guy? Whatever was involved with the rape, you will start to add that to your belief system or your disbelief system. I no longer believe it's safe to walk my dog at night. You'll have rules that you will form based on you and the trauma. So know that. I'm not judging that. You might have had a trauma when you were walking your dog at night, and I could certainly understand why you would say, I'm no longer comfortable walking my dog at night. And that's a new belief system of yours. It would be wrong of somebody to tell you, you're just wrong, cut it out. No. It's your belief system based on what you went through. The window into our soul, the thing I call the call to consciousness, is when we stop and say, what do I believe and why do I believe that? And is that how I want to believe? Those of you looking to find long-term loving relationships that will last a lifetime, you've got to believe that those exist. You have to believe that those exist for you. Because the thing I hear most often is, well, I have friends in long-term loving relationships and long-term marriages, but I can't seem to find anybody. What's wrong with me? Why doesn't anybody want me? You know, I keep finding all these broken, desperate people, and there aren't any good ones out there. All the good ones are taken. If that is your belief system, it's no wonder that the environment you're creating, the people you're associating with, what you're calling to you, is what you believe. There's a cool book called The Secret, The Law of Attraction, and it's by Rhonda Byrne. It's a book that talks about you attract to you that which you believe. So it's a cool little book that gets you to kind of recognize you're attracting to you what you believe. But I want you to go even deeper than that. I want you to explore what it is you believe. Let's look at another example. Let's say you or someone you know has been trying for a long time to quit smoking. And they have trouble quitting smoking. And they try, and they get a little bit, and they do it for a week or two. And then they have some stress, or they're at a party and everybody else is smoking or something. And they keep falling back off the I don't smoke wagon. Well, for starters, they probably don't see themselves as a non-smoker. They see themselves as somebody who's trying not to smoke, which is different than I'm a non-smoker. But what's really interesting to me is, this person gets diagnosed with lung cancer. Many people who have not been able to quit smoking get diagnosed with a potential terminal illness and never smoke another cigarette again. Why? They believe they're going to die. And they believe that if they quit smoking, maybe they won't die. Now, not everybody that gets diagnosed with cancer quits smoking. I've seen people that get diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and they go, I don't care, I'm going to die anyway, and they keep smoking. And they don't really care if they live or die. Which, think about it, what's their underlying belief system? I don't want to keep living anymore anyway. I don't care if I die. Everybody's got to go somehow. I hear those kind of phrases. That's their underlying belief system. But if what you believe in is, I have life to live, I have things to do, I have people to love, I want to be alive. All of a sudden, you want that. You believe in that more than you believe in going out and lighting up your cigarette to ease your anxiety or to feed your nicotine habit or because it gets you outside for 10 minutes to take your break. All of a sudden, not dying of cancer is far more important to you and what you believe than smoking. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean you're not craving it. But what a motivator to stop smoking. I have terminal lung cancer. I just got diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer. Whoa, maybe I should quit smoking. So you see the comparison that I'm making. When something is in your face enough to change what you have believed in, then you will start to do something different. Let's look at another example. If you've been kind of laissez-faire in your relationship and you haven't really tried hard and your spouse makes requests and little hints about, say, being romantic or having more time together or we never do anything fun anymore or it's always all about you, it's your way or the highway, never gets to be what I want to watch on TV or what restaurant I want to go to or it's always about what you will or won't do. Those are calls to consciousness in your relationship. So what is it that you believe? Do you believe it doesn't matter if you change or not? Do you believe that their little request for some romance or their saying that you don't take them into consideration when you're late and you don't let them know, do you believe that that doesn't mean anything? And you've kind of just let it go. That laissez-faire, don't really care. That is your belief. It doesn't really matter. So then your spouse pulls you aside one day and says, I don't want to be married to you anymore. I've tried to work on this relationship. I've tried to change it. I want it to evolve. I'm tired of being unhappy. I've talked to you about this 100 times and you do nothing about it. I don't want to be married to you anymore. And all of a sudden, what they've been saying matters. You didn't want a divorce. You didn't want to lose the comfort and the safety of your relationship. What you wanted was to be left alone in how you did things. And what your core belief was, is if I just keep going like this, nothing will happen. But the day your spouse pulls you aside and says, no more, not doing this anymore, I want out. All of a sudden, the call to consciousness is there. And you, like the smoker diagnosed with stage 3 lung cancer, says, oh, I need to wake up. I need to change. I need to believe that my spouse will leave if I don't do something different. Believing is a huge motivator. We want our children to believe that if they come in late, they'll be grounded. We want kids to believe that getting decent grades in high school will prepare them for adulthood, either to launch off into a career, or go to trade school, or go to college. We want our kids to believe that there is importance in their follow-through and in their grades. The kids that don't believe in that are the ones that don't care about their grades. They cut school. They go to school stoned. They hang out with crummy people. They don't really believe it's important. Let's take a whole other example. Let's talk about your health. Let's say you've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And you sort of believe it's important. You sort of believe it can harm your health. You hear people that get really, really bad with their diabetes and maybe lose a foot and maybe have neuropathy. But, you know, it's just you're not that bad. And so you don't really believe what the doctor's telling you about how to handle your diabetes. So you sort of do it. And you sort of don't, and you kind of check your blood sugar, but it's usually always about what it is. You know, it's always about 200, and you're going, well, it's not that bad. Okay, so your belief is that diabetes can kill people, but not me. And that's what your behavior looks like. So all of a sudden you find out you're going to lose your foot if you don't change your ways. You're starting to get circulation problems in your foot, and this projects down the way you could lose your foot. And you go, oh, hey, maybe I should do something different. We're talking about the power of believing. So those are just a couple of examples that you can put into any framework that fits for what you struggle with. But when we believe, we can change. Do you catch that? How we believe right now is how we are behaving. If we want to change our behavior, change the way we eat, the way we exercise, the way we treat our spouse, the type of relationship we find, if we want to change our job, if we want better children, we have to believe in something other than what we've been doing. Because how your environment is, how your friends are, how your people are around you, how you are searching out information, okay, and how you are actually experiencing your life is totally based on how you believe. That's how important this is. So if you want to change, you have to believe you can change. But in order to believe that you can change, you've got to stop and say, what is it that I do believe in? And do I accept that? Do I want to keep doing that? Or do I want to do something different? If you want to do something different, then you have to work on changing your belief system in order for you to stand in that truth and behave in that manner and create the world around you that you want to believe in. You got to look deeply, you guys. It's not that scary. Sometimes you need a tour guide. You need to be in good therapy for somebody to help you find how you've been believing and how it's been affecting you. So I hope today that you can take a good look on the power of believing. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bay. You can listen to my podcast. Type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell podcast, and it'll come up. You can listen to it on any podcast venue. All right, this is Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.